Let's pray before we get to the class in this evening. Thank you, Father, for this evening. Give us just hearts that are open to hear your word and be with us as we speak through the scriptures. Guide us in everything, and I pray, God, that we will always focus on you and be directed by you, Father. It's the name of our Lord Jesus that I pray and believe. Amen. I'd like us to ask this question: how do we get spiritual awakening? And maybe you can tell me what you think about that before I get into it. How do you get spiritual awakening? Yes, please.
I would say praying to God, like with a true open heart, because he hears us from our heart, basically.
He hears us from our hearts.
So, yeah, I'm getting hot right now just even saying that.
Yeah.
But if we just pray usually just for asking for things or whatever, that's like a want, you know what I mean? It's not a heart, but when we need help with something, I believe he really helps, or he hears that and he responds to our heart.
All right. Amen. He responds to our heart. Yes.
When you let go of any sin you've been holding on to for a long time, it really gives you a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, like it says in Acts 3, I think. And then you just really hear God. It's a time of awakening, I would say.
Letting go of sin you've held for a long time, it can really awaken you. Yes, Chloe.
I think sometimes we go through really hard things, and we see there's nothing we can do about it.
When you go through hard things and there's nothing you can do about it but depend on God, that is a real spiritual awakening. Yes, Allah.
I think it all begins with God, because no one can come to God unless he draws.
It all begins with God. Yes, sir.
I think our repentance meaning a shift from yourself to God.
Repentance from yourself, a shift from yourself to God. Yes. When you get inspired. Yes.
When you let the Holy Spirit lead you.
When you let the Holy
Spirit. I would say when we spend time just worshiping and praising God, just dedicating that time, focusing on Him, how awesome He is, and just connecting with all the
love. Amen. Yes, Barbara. She stole your answer. Okay.
When we seek
and give forgiveness. Seek and give forgiveness. Yes, Perry.
This is scripture in Ephesians 5, kind of resonates with me. It says that everything exposed by the light becomes visible, or it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so in my mind, what the Bible's saying is the more transparent we are, the more things we have.
There we go. Let God shine. The kings.
I think about the same as a physical awakening. When I wake up, I open my eyes, and I feel like a spiritual awakening is when I open my eyes to God's words and actually wake up to it, and actually, you know, it penetrates my heart and I live it.
Okay. The word of God.
Yeah, I think more like a long clock waking you up. I think sometimes we just need people in our lives that we can be open and real with, that can also speak the truth to us in love and help us see the blind spots that we're missing so that we can get into God's word.
God's words and people in your life. Yes.
I think when we see Jesus for who he really is, like his supremacy and how he fills everything, and just how much we need him.
See Jesus how he really is instead of how we think he should be. That's a big one. So when I talk about spiritual awakening, I think it's possible that you become a Christian and you can sleep in your spirituality. You go to sleep as a Christian and just get very, for lack of a better term, docile in your operations and just die spiritually and not be inspired and directed. So we've got to ask ourselves, am I feeling a spiritual awakening in me? Is that something I experience, or am I in the dry run of it and just tired of what's going on? And so I want to read, focus on this issue, and we'll be reading from Haggai. If you know anything about Haggai, what is it about Haggai in the Old Testament? Haggai. We'll take Haggai, okay. That's true. That's true.
I was going to say, it's almost like Haggai had to get the people to kind of like jumpstart again to get the people going again.
Okay, that's true. So let's talk about this for a moment. So Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panel houses while this house remains in a ruin? This conversation begins from the fact that they had come back from being captive, and they had built a foundation. And then after the foundation, they stopped because of how people are opposing them, and they were afraid to go forward because the success of the Israelites scared the neighborhood. Does that make sense? So that as they got opposed, they stopped that work and left it at the foundation level and just continued doing their own thing and ignored the temple. And the temple in this case is a focal point of God. So in other words, they ignored God altogether and stayed with their life. And that's why I said self-focus stops our spiritual progress. You know, if you really think about it, we're self-focused. Indulge me. This morning, what did you do for yourself? You woke up. Most likely you brushed your teeth. You brushed your hair. You made yourself some coffee. You may have made it for your children, but you're in the game. You got in the car, you drove yourself somewhere, you got to the office, you did something for yourself, you brought yourself back here. Do you see how much that is us? Now, question, how much do you do for other people? If you're a mother, you did for your children, you did. If you're a husband, you did for your spouse. But how much do you do for other people? Think about it. Our life is by design about us. It's not, you have to engage fully to say, oh, well, I got to think about somebody else. By design, it's about us. It's not a bad habit. It's not a bad thing. You got to take care of yourself. But if you're not thinking like, how can I get to God? It may not happen. So that's why I say they were busy saying everything, but not focusing on themselves, on God. Doing everything for themselves, but nothing for God. And the answers we gave earlier are real. We've got to start with God. It's possible that this morning you didn't even have a chance to read the Bible. It's possible that you didn't pray. And if you did, you microwaved it. You just, let's go. And you're not getting time to figure out, so what am I doing for God? And the focus then is to understand that he's saying, the word of the Lord came through the prophet. He was trying to get them to start up again. It is a time for you yourself to be living in your panel houses while the house ruins. He's not complaining about their houses. He said, you're doing a good job for your house, but you're neglecting one side of the life. Does that make sense? So there's nothing wrong about doing things for yourself, but don't neglect the kingdom of God. As a church, we have got many things going on. There are many things we can do. We can reach out to our neighbors. That's one thing we can do. Amen. We can reach out to people that are around us and places like that, and that will be awesome. But there are other needs, i.e. getting involved with serving with children. When is the last time you were there? to serve children. That's part of building the kingdom of God. Oh man, let's talk about, we all know Mac, right? You know Mac? Okay, Mac is the guy that makes the sound come around here. I know God makes all that, but Mark gets up here and the sound comes back here. I mean, and sometimes on his own, on Sundays, and I'm like, where's everybody else? We got to do something to help Mark. Mark is in the 70s, maybe I'm wrong, 60s. But we've got to stick with helping him out with such things. I mean, let's go on Father and ask. We've got to help him and say, you know what, help. Let me be a part of helping what's going on here. I mean, let's go Father. You hear people, you've heard announcements. We need to get people to help with moving. We need to help people for this. You know, it's easy for you to say somebody will do it. Somebody will do it. It's easy for you to say that. Who is that somebody? Who is the somebody? You know, in the days when I walked the streets and of congested streets and somebody would be lying down, I remember once walking a very congested street, and a guy was lying down, and he was in a ditch, and everybody's saying he's drunk and milling around and saying nothing. Then I don't know, for some reason, I said, let me just go see what's going on. I get there, I'm like, oh my goodness, the guy has asthma because I have had it. And he has, this is not drunk. So I go home, I take the car, I come over there, and I say, hey, who can help me take this guy to hospital? They put the guy in my car, and they all leave. The rule is you don't show up with a guy like that in a hospital and just leave, because ideally you may have done something to him. But what's the point I'm trying to make is that everybody's milling around saying what's wrong with it but doing nothing. We've got to be a part of what God wants us to do. Let me pull that back to your marriages. What are you doing for your marriage? Are you building there? Because that's also the kingdom of God, you know. As a couple, are you building? Or are you ignoring that? If you're single, what are you doing for the kingdom of God spiritually as a person? Or are you building, or just, somebody will do it, somebody will do it. Nobody does it when it's like that. Somebody has to say, you know, I'm going to take responsibility of this. The reason I say that is that if you don't take responsibility for yourself to start building, to be used by God, help people to know God, to bring them in here or build friendships there, and who knows what happens with that, and visit one another and be in each other's homes and have great family groups, because that's part of building God's kingdom, to be in those family groups, we may be ignoring something. We've done a lot of talk about building safety. We've done a lot about building with God, but we have to be the ones that own the process and not hope that it just becomes automatic. But self-focus stops spiritual progress. So don't spend the time thinking about yourself all the time. It's depressing. It is depressing. The way they treat people, I mean, you've got a counseling. How do we treat people who are depressed? You can help us with that. You try to get them out of that rut, right? Yeah, you try to get them out of focusing on themselves. That's how they treat that. It says, get out of this depressive of thinking, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, and say, can I give of myself? And it goes away. You see, self-focus is an idol that takes you from worshiping God. And that's what was going on here. They had totally ignored God because of self-focus. And so there's no awakening. They're consumed. You cannot be awakened if you're self-focused. You've got to be thinking, how can God work with me? The other day I was telling the brothers, I was feeling like I need to reach out to people that I really need to serve people in hospital and other places, because it's easy to just lose heart for the sick, for the poor, and just be there. And you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for what? For not taking care of the poor. That's why it was destroyed. And so we've got to be around this, focused on building the house of God. That was their issue. But that is everything I've tried to eliminate is our issue today. We have to begin to think about that. Self-focus stops spiritual progress. So stop being so self-focused and start saying, how can I serve God? And see what God does with your life. Amen? So how do you get spiritual awakening? The next thing that you do there is Priorities affect the outcome of your life. It was self-focused, but I want to hit thee a little bit. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. That's a scary place to be. Like you're putting on clothes, you're not feeling warm. Anyway, you earn wages only to put them in the purse with the holes in it. You know, have you ever made money and then you wonder, where did my money go? You think somebody stole your money, right? Where did my money go? I got this check and by this date, what happened to my money? But the issue here is that priorities affect the outcome of your life. I know, if you ignore God as a priority, it affects everything. Guys, when I say ignore God, where God is not the center of how you think, of the center of how you speak, the center of how you treat people, the center of how you operate in your life, it'll affect everything. That poison has a way of troubling everything else you touch. So you have to ask that question. This guy's, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Take time. I want to ask a question. Do you reflect about your relationship with God and how awakened you are with God? Do you reflect on yourself and say, am I dull and what's happening here? Do I sense things spiritually? Do I discern? Or do I just go with my emotions and feeling? I mean, take some time and think about that. How often do you get angry and just go with it? And live with it for 2 weeks before you say, I need to just stop getting angry. It's okay to get angry, but when it takes over, it's not good. You can get angry, but to take over, then it takes over the whole day. It goes on and on. You're like, what's that? And so that's the question. Are you reflecting? When is the last time you sat in your house somewhere and just, I want to reflect on God? Reflect on a scripture and say, what does that mean for me? You cannot get a spiritual awakening if you're not reflecting. Because you come into a routine that is so demanding and you score for yourself by how many things you're doing. You think, I did a lot today, but there's no spiritual attachment to anything you're doing. It's an empty deed. One of the things I learned, I think, at 26, as I did ministry, is I'd pack my schedules and do a lot of things. I'd do a lot and go home and feel so empty. And yet I feel like, but I did so much. Why do I feel so empty? I was dying spiritually because I had switched from worshiping God to packing a routine. And if you're like me, I'm a routine guy. I drink the same drink, eat the same food, sit the same place. There's a routine. I have to change the way there are days I have to say, I'm not praying from this place today. I'm going downstairs to pray today. Because if I keep coming here, I'm going to keep saying the same things. Sometimes you're saying, Father God, a million times, and you're not even connecting. What am I really telling God? Father God, Father God. And we got to connect to what we're talking to God about for a spiritual awakening to happen. We've got to read in a meaningful way. And I've said this many times, but I have to keep coming back to it because it is the source that allows you to function irrespective of the temptations that the devil throws your way, and you can have good conversations. So ignore your walk with God, and your priorities begin to go south. Have you ever been in a hurry to leave the house and in a hurry to get to work and forget to get gas for your car? I need to get there in a hurry. By the time, just before you get to the office, it dies out. Or you're always in a hurry. I'll go to get an oil change and you never get the oil change. You're always in a hurry. Eventually, it just dies because you never got the oil change done. You're always in a hurry, so you never have time to talk to your spouse. You're ever in a hurry. Then you wake up one day and you're not close anymore because you don't spend time. Even as single people, we can be in a hurry always, so we have no relationships. We come to church, hey, good to see you, we're in a hurry, we're going to go there. Create time, priorities matter. They do matter. The illusion of you're doing a lot is not true. Connect with God first. It matters. This man had the wrong priorities. And because you have wrong priorities, you start feeling empty. That's why it says you plant much, but you have as little. So you're doing all this, but you're feeling empty. You're having all this money, but you're filling their holes. Because you've put the wrong things in the wrong place. So you start feeling things are falling apart. Why? Because there's no connection to God. When you're connected to God, the power of it's infinite in nature. No trouble gets to you. Well, it may get to you, but you have the strength to overcome it. Let me change that statement. It may get to you, but you have the strength to overcome. So if you find that you're being overcome a lot, I want to ask you to take some time to reflect and get the priorities right. Get some priorities right. He says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways and get the priorities right. Yeah, I'm one of those that like to watch basketball sometimes late in the night. And yesterday I was watching and says, man, this team needs to win. What's going on? And I went home late, but because the body's used, I was up early to go and pray. And I didn't wake up thinking about the game anymore. I woke up saying, well, I got to pray. You can do all those things, but Jesus is Lord. Focus on that. You've got to make Jesus Lord of your schedule. Not your other things. Make Jesus the Lord of your schedule. Don't just jumping and reacting. And then we will miss open people that God is putting in our ways. As you talk to them about God, but because we're so much in a hurry, never happens. We have no time for such things because what? Priorities affect your outcome and it stops you from being awakened spiritually. And you wonder, why am I like this? But you have the same habits and these habits are killing you. You got to have time for God, time for prayer, get out and talk to people about God from time to time. It's an amazing thing to do when you share your faith. But at the same time, take time to build friendships. I mean, do you have people you're building friendships in the church? Really, friends, not church acquaintances, friends. I'll leave you to work that one out. I'll not go too far into that because I may go off the tangent with that one. But you have to take time to build friends. You have to fight for it. Call people. Let's hang out. Let's talk about stuff. You don't do that and you wait. Why are they calling me? Hello, hello. You call people. You'll see what happens. Ignoring your spiritual life has ramifications. This is all. Everything I'm talking about is spiritual awakening. And I keep going back to this. You can ignore these things and say, I don't care. I've survived. I'm fine. It doesn't matter. I can survive no matter what. So this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. It keeps saying that a lot in this place. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it stand out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? He basically says, all this time, man, you're doing all that. It's not working. Everything I blew away. Why? Then he starts to give the reason. Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crop. The principle of life is that you have to give of yourself to God first, then everything else works from there. The way we work is, God, you give it to me and I'll start giving my life to you. No, 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 no. You give yourself to God first. It's not the other way. You give it to me and I'll give you. You know the way you pray, God, if you give me this lottery of 50 million, I will tithe. No, it doesn't work like that. If you can't tithe the $1 you get, man, you can't tithe 50 million. You're going to have issues. It doesn't want, you have to give yourself to God first. It's a trust issue. It says, no, you do that. Therefore, because of you have held this, I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. It's funny how people that are focused on God seem to have the energy and the resources to do that. The same people that keep serving again and again. And there are people that never have time to serve and have the same amount of hours. But they will never serve in any capacity, singing, helping move something. No, we don't do that. And I'm like, well, how does that happen? You know, the generous guy always seems to have money to give people some help, right? And the guy that hardly gives money, hardly has any money. I guess God has figured out who is the conduit that I can walk with. This guy is a conduit. We're going to channel that direction. This other guy has not, forget it. And I'm not talking about generosity to test to God, because that is not sincere. Generosity is a character which overflows by serving people. It's not necessarily just giving money, it's other things, getting in studies, doing other things, loving people, conversation, and other things. You got to ask yourself, how's that? My wife always convicts me on that. For a long time, that is always, you know, it's funny. For a long time, my wife was always getting gifts. I hardly got any. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm the preacher, man. I'm doing all that stuff. Nothing. But my wife was, she's giving, like, okay, we got to give this. We got to give that. We got to give this. And I'm thinking, hey, we got a budget. Wait, there's a budget. And she says, no, God will take care of us. And God always took care of us. Here's the truth. In your life, you're always called to live by faith. That is a hard thing to do. You need, yes, to have organization, you need to have a plan. But beyond that, you got to rise on faith. If you rely on the plan, you're going to have troubles. You got to rise on faith. And when I think of when I was most spiritually awake is when I was in this realm of faith, even though I had all this plans, but God help us, let's see what happens. And amazing things happened. My prayer for you today, this evening, is you start asking questions. Am I ignoring my spiritual life? Is there something you ignore? You don't get in the word as you should. You don't pray as you should. You hardly get in fasting mode. You hardly reach out to anyone. You hardly hang out with people and encourage them. You don't enjoy family group. Or maybe you're stuck with what I think somebody said. You got to let go of that sin. And that sin just keeps coming back. It can be anger, resentment, all kinds of things that come with it. Or all the stuff that comes with the internet, the pornography, and all that stuff that needs to be dealt with. And it can be many other thoughts that you need to let go. But because you're not letting go, it is eating in your spiritual well-being. It does. For a long time, I thought, well, I go to church, I worship. That should be, I'm surely a strong Christian. No. You can be dying spiritually, be at church. The guy in the wall is more awakened. Without mentioning, I once went to a church, the first time I went to the church, and I went there, and I said to myself, oh my goodness, is this church? I said, the church looks worse than the world. And I remember telling my wife that. I said, God forgive me, I hope I'm not. And sure enough, people didn't trust nobody. And I said, what's wrong with this thing? And we walked through it and God changed it. But I said, it's possible to be Christians that are totally gone. It's in Corinthians. It's in other places. You see it in the Bible. My point to you is that don't settle. Keep growing spiritually. Keep walking. And if you walk like that, it affects everything in your life. Amen? So ignoring your spiritual life has ramifications. When I say ignoring, you know yourself more than I do. There are things I know about myself that I have to deal with me. If I don't deal with that stuff, it will come my way. So if you play in the game of, but everybody thinks I'm fine, that game is terrible. You're going to say, "What? Who is Steve and what's going on?" And I hope you're having safe places where you really talk about how you feel and growing and changing. Does God still move your heart? Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Jeshiah, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. So, though the prophet was speaking, they said, wait a minute, man, we hear God's voice, we've got to respond to God's voice, we're going to go and do the job. It's possible to be a Christian who hears the message and everything, and never says, that was really convicting. I got to do something this week. So week in, week out, nothing happens. It's just, okay,
Good message. Well, in other words, you're inspired in the moment. Have you ever watched Olympics? Oh, any game you like, something that you really like. And the guy's winning. You actually stand up and think you can run too. Then you realize, wait a minute. I don't think I can do this stuff. Yesterday my wife and I watched a kid that was doing some Scottish dance. And I said to myself, you know, maybe we can do it. I'm like, wait a minute, those knees can't handle that jumping out like that. That's, you're inspired in the moment, but as soon as the guy leaves, it's done. Is it possible that you're inspired on Sunday and Wednesday, as soon as we leave? By the time you hit the second light, a few guys have messed you up already. Or it lasts you the whole night. By morning, another thing has happened. You have to be intentional and say, you know what? The Holy Spirit has spoken. I got to start working on me. And I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about spiritually grounding yourself in prayer and really working on your heart and coming around. It's not the activity of reacting. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You're just going back to activity. I'm not talking about activitism. I'm talking about, that's my own word I've made up. I'm talking about you really connecting with God and having a transformation of the heart and peacefulness. And as I pray, this becomes clear to me. There are days I really feel like, oh my goodness, God, you've really revealed that. We've got to come to that place. It's there that we get the energy to say anything to anyone, love people, connect with people, to study the Bible with people, visit them when they're sick, give them meals, whatever we need to do for them. Does God still move your heart? That's the issue. As in, it's transformative. It makes you feel like, yeah, I got to do something about that. If God is not moving your heart, it's something you got to start asking yourself, are you stuck? You follow that. And that is just getting in the Word and having great conversations and prayer, and your heart starts to moving. A lot of people want to read the Bible and says, I changed today because I read the Bible. No, it's a process. As you study that, you'll be seeing different things. You know, so you get in a place where you feel like God is really calling me to this. Sometimes I have such this yearning. I say, God, I'm yearning for you to show me stuff. And for a week I'm feeling that, but I can't force it. I'm like, okay, God, we got to work this one out. And I'm on it. And sometimes I just got to think it, and God will give me an answer a month later. It's when we want quick answers that we lose God. Because God has to do work in our hearts. We want quick solutions right now. We're praying, God, take away this problem. God says, well, the problem stays until you get yourself together. That's the prayer. God, I wish this would take God away. No. Show me what you'd like me to be like Jesus Christ in this situation. It doesn't go away. I have many problems that have stayed the same, but they no longer bother me. I'm like, wow. So why was I so frustrated in the first place? Why was I like that? I'm like, okay, God, thank you for your grace. I'm still here. You're asking for God to take that away. No. God is trying to grow you. He does it two ways. Suffering and blessings. They're all God trying to walk you out. We don't like suffering. We're like, oh, God, take that away. No. And here he's saying, they were moved. Now they turned around and said, we got to do something about that house. We got to build it. We got to build the temple of God. Let God stir your heart so you can repent. When you're being moved by God, then you're getting stirred and you can start repenting. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. They began to build it up. They got busy. When you really want God to move you, to get you going and you engage, things start changing. Let me explain this. My early 3 years as a disciple, I came to church and I had four sisters that I always fellowshipped with. I had my routine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We always go on fellowship. And I was my good old-fashioned guy and all that stuff. And really, I had my worldliness still not gone. Doing nothing else at church. Came and just sat. Doing nothing. Fellowship with my friends. Walk around and maybe other two brothers used to hang out. Nothing. Maybe in those days, evangelism was by hook or crook. You must make it happen. Come, we must get you acculturated. Nobody. They were not asking you nicely. They were saying, you need to come to that place. My father died when I was a disciple. And something happened for that 1 year. I said, God, what is the purpose of life? I know I'm a Christian now, but the person I really knew is gone. And I was running a little bit of a depression life, like 6 months of a guy that is nowhere. But I was in the world like nobody's business. I came out of that place feeling like God is really my daddy, and that changed me. I came to church early and I served, not because somebody asked me. I just said, what can I do? And I just started doing stuff. And I've never stopped from that day. I don't know what happened, but I just remember at some point I was really saying, okay, I need to serve. I need to stop sitting around here and feeling sorry for myself that my daddy left me and I'm only going to go to him. He's not coming this way. It's a done deal. But it was a 6 months conversation between me and God. And you want to know, when my daddy died, no disciple came for the funeral. I could have gone off and said, you call yourself Christians, you didn't come see me. Well, that was an excuse. The real issue was I need to deal with me. And to this day, I decided, no, big deal. Well, yeah, sometimes when I'm doing poorly, I want to use that as an excuse. I need to call them. I said, well, no, you need to stop that. You got to deal with your issues, not trying to run on that. And that's when God does something. He moves you and you start doing. So they start building. I changed then. I'm not a perfect guy. I just try to do that. But I'm sharing that story. I hope it helps to show you that if you're connected, you can start doing things. Come with an idea of what can I do. There's music, there's stuff, there's all kinds of things we can do together. So they began. Let God stir your spirit so you can repent. You see, there has to be a repentance. He's not going to change if there's no repentance. You understand that? There has to be a repentance. Whether the time you sleep, the time you wake up, all that stuff you want to plug in to be with God. You have to make some repentance in that neighborhood. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not a legalistic guy in the sense of what time you wake up, but I'm saying you need to repent about, okay, what time will I spend with God? You got to be done with that. So let God stir your spirit so that you can repent. Something happens when you connect with God. You want to do stuff for Him. Amen? When you're not connecting, it's because you're not stirred. So it's just another dull place. And finishing. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left? Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look for you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? The former one was amazing, so this looked like nothing. But now be strong, Zerubbabel declared the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declare the Lord, and walk, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what With you, when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains among you. Don't fear. Here's the deal. Those that had seen what was done before, it was nothing compared to what they were building. But God still wanted to work with them. I want to speak to the old Christians. You may be wanting to go back to how it looked like in the 90s. That's not happening. We're in a different space now. Start building where you are right now. A different generation. What you did in the 90s, that methodology will not suffice for you now. You'll start struggling. Understand the things we've talked about lately and start implementing that. If you are an old Christian, please, the older give to the young. And the young, please, be open to be influenced by the older. But here's the deal. We cannot keep talking about, reminiscing about, you know, in the days we did that, in the days we did that. I'm here now. I hardly tell you about what we did and where we did and how we did it. I hardly go there because I feel like, well, we're here now. Can we focus on God here now and make it happen? If we keep talking about yesterday and all that stuff, you may want to look at that. Change is the law of life. And those who only look to the past or present are certain to miss the future. John F. Kennedy, that's true. If you're always stuck in yesterday and what happened or now, look to the future. God's going to do great stuff. And that is true for your lives. You may be thinking that, oh, my past has really crippled me. You got to let go of that stuff and look to the future. But change will always happen. God bless you.